Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming. So I know we have limited time, so I'm going to start with my presentation. So today I'm going to talk about Enhanced Fitness. It's a program for older adults, basically. It's an evidence-based group exercise program. I am hoping that a lot of you would be familiar with it. But if not, as I go with the presentation, I'll talk more about it. And if you have any questions or something, you can ask me in the end. So, sorry, I forgot to introduce myself, right? So,
no, I introduced you.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. So I don't have any relationships to disclose with respect to this study. So I'll talk more about the study and everything, but just before I start, I want to tell you that the way this program was offered, it was offered to both men and women, and it's offered in South Florida. Health Foundation of South Florida is offering it through Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative, which was established in 2008. And I see Dr. Bazia Belza sitting there. She will be familiar with it. So the program was offered to both men and women, but for this particular study, I'm looking only on for the women population. And there were a couple of reasons about why I chose to look at women only. One was I believe that, you know, both men and women, they are, you know, exposed to different risk factors. So there could be different reasons that why men want to participate in programs and why women. So that was one of the reasons. And I'll talk more about it later on. Okay, so, thanks. So starting with a little bit of statistics, you know, older women, they are like, we have 24.3 million older women, which is 65 plus I'm talking about here. And they're almost 6 million more than the older men of the same age group. And they're expected to increase by 39.8 million by 2030. The sex ratio, we have 129 women for every 100 men and 200 women for every 100 men at 85 plus. We all know, you know, that as a person progresses, the tendency to develop chronic diseases increases. So this is about that approximately 92% of older adults, and here it's about 65 plus, they suffer from at least one chronic disease, and 77% have at least two. The other thing for the physical activity, there are, you know, for certain things, like you say, if there are some genetic problems and something, you cannot modify them. But we all know that for physical activity, there are risk factors which can be modified, and one of them is their physical habits. So these are certain of the risk factors. And just before I move forward, these are the guidelines from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that a person should walk at least for 150 minutes, like moderate intensity, or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity for every week, and muscle strengthening activities on two or more days. A lot of people, they try to incorporate walking and meeting this guideline of 150 minutes, but most of them, they forget to, you know, do the muscle strengthening activities, which is, I think, more important for older adults. So what are the issues? To me, there are two issues. A lot of people just talk about, you know, the low rates of physical inactivity. And I think so. The other one we most of the time forget is, you know, even if we motivate people to start activating in the program, a lot of them, they don't continue in the program. So for me, the other problem was, you know, high program attrition rates. And literature supports this by saying, you know, that approximately 50% of the individuals who start an exercise program, they drop out within first few weeks. And you know, I'm sure all of you are familiar with this, you know, that it's not just that you start exercising or you just start walking, because if we talk to the people, you know, they say, I walk, I do, you know, I help, you know, gardening and my household chores, I, you know, walk upstairs and everything. Fine, which is, you know, good, you should do something. But to attain the health benefits, there's a certain amount you have to meet, so which most of the people are not able to meet, and that's why we don't see those health benefits. And that's about what this study was about, looking at those factors. Just about the program, as I was telling you, we will come to it later on again. It was developed in 1993, tested, and it aims to help older adults at all levels to become more active, energized, and empowered to sustain independent lives. And I believe Dr. Belza was in the study by Wallace and et al. When they did all this, right, Dr. Belza? So this is about our collaboration, which is Healthy Aging Regional Collaborative. It was Health Foundation of South Florida. They established it. And they're offering several other programs. I am just looking at Enhanced Fitness, but they're also offering like Matter of Balance and Living Healthy. So all those programs. There are six actually. Yeah. For us, so Enhanced Fitness consisted of 1 hour session. It was held 3 times a week, and this is the way it was designed. The only difference between the way it was designed and the way Health Foundation is offering it is, it was designed that you give it for 4 months to participants, and then they, you know, they might not come, and, you know, but for us, we tell them that you can continue coming in the program for as long as you want. We actually tell them that they should be coming for 4 months. So we motivate them for at least 4 months, but after that, they're more than welcome to come for as long as. And we have participants who have been coming from 4 years. So about my population, for this study, as I said, that this was offered to both men and women, but I just took the sample of women and looked at them. The age was like 70 to 79 years for most of the participants. They were 70 to 79 years old. A lot of them lived in Miami-Dade County. The program was offered in 3 Southeast, Florida Southeast counties, Broward, Miami-Dade, and Monroe. A lot of them were single. Majority was white non-Hispanics. A lot of them speak, the primary language was English, but everybody, the program was offered only in English. So there are the programs which I was telling you, they're offered in both English and Spanish, but this program was offered only in English. This was the factor, let me talk about this. So on the first day of the program, we asked participants to fill out a health history form where they tell us about if they're suffering from any kind of disease, like, you know, any chronic disease or other ways for which they're taking medication. So this, we don't actually collect data on this specifically, but this variable was created from those. We have a list of like 40 of those, you know, they check the items, and based on how many they check, we created this variable. So participants who do not have any risk factor, who have 1, 2 risk factor, 3 or more. About the effectiveness, if you see, so these are the 3 outcome variables. Primarily outcome variables which were chosen. So we asked them to do chair stands in 30 seconds, and an instructor is, you know, measuring them. They do it at the baseline, and they do every 4 months. So if participant is coming only for 4 months, we'll do it 4 months. If they're coming for, you know, 16, 18, so they're done every 4 months. And when I say completers, it is somebody who attended at least 32 sessions in first 16 weeks. So the developers of the program, they said that a participant has to attend at least 66% of the sessions, which is 66% of 48 sessions with the simple mathematics. So this is how we divide it. And I wanted you to see that although for all the outcomes, you see the completers and the non-completers group, non-completers group would be which is less than 31 sessions, they did improve. But if you see, the improvement is almost double for all the outcomes for those who completed the program, which was very interesting. And the differences are significant. So if you see that for non-completers in chair stands, that group improved by a mean of like 1.19, and for completers, it's 2.66. So it was very interesting, and I've been emailing Dr. Belza a lot about, you know, how they came up with this 32 number and why do they think it's important. But now when I did this analysis, I was like, it makes sense because they improved. So this was the main thing I wanted to talk to you about. If you see the adherence rate for even our study, only 24.2% of the women participants, they completed the program. So as you can see, it's a very low number. So I really wanted to see, you know, why people are not completing the programs, although we are able to, you know, tell them and come and say them, you know, that you should be, start acting, you know, participating in the physical activity programs. But why do they don't maintain that behavior? So I have just 5 minutes, so I'm going to go faster now. If you will see the first finding, usually we'll think, you know, people who are younger, they will be more, you know, if you will just see, they will be like more likely to complete the program. But in my analysis, surprisingly, I found that women who are 80 years or older were 1.5 times more likely to complete the program, which was very interesting finding. And I was thinking at first, maybe I did something wrong. You know, maybe I recoded in a different direction. So, you know, I looked more. So we also collect data on, you know, 7 items, which is more like, do you believe you are physically fit? Are you happy with your current weight? Are you happy with these things? So using the structural equation model, I created, you know, out of those 7 items, 2-factor model. And one of them was like belief about the person about their own health. And the second thing was what they believe about their fitness levels. So over there, interestingly, I found, you know, these women who are 80 years or older, they had more positive belief about their health, you know, that yes, I can do it. And then I started looking for more literature, and it does support, you know, that people who have more positive beliefs, there is strong association that they are likely to maintain that behavior. I would like to look more into it, but right now the data didn't allow me. And as I said, the variable that was created was a latent variable. But it was a very interesting finding. So the other thing was we found significant was that, as I said, it was offered to people living in 3 counties. Those who lived in Monroe County residents, they were twice as likely to complete the program. Black non-Haitian women were less likely. We all know, you know, from the health disparities research that they are less likely to complete the program. Other finding was those who have depression were less likely to complete the program, and those who have any risk factors. So just before I go to the conclusion section, I did also wanted to point you out that I didn't put it here, and it was not like we didn't collect much data, but my coworker Chelsea will be talking more about this. But there were certain, you know, factors which were motivating, you know, women to come, and there were certain barriers, I would say, which would prevent them to come, as well as older men. So she will talk more about it, and this will get linked. But for now, for my presentation, I would say that, you know, program completion is important because the results show that they are twice as likely to improve, and the other one, these were the factors which could impact the completion rate. And I also, we suggested, you know, we did find that people do say, you know, if there was instructor of the same race and ethnicity, then they're more likely to complete, especially men. And that was it. Yeah, and my time is over, right? Okay. Thank you. If any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I want to talk more, yeah? We are actually going to publish manuscript out of this, and when we do that, we write a lot of recommendations over there. But we did give, so this was an ongoing evaluation. So every year we were doing it, and we were giving recommendations to the funders and the agencies, you know, this is what's motivating people and this is what we should be doing. So one of the recommendations that we did find was, you know, if using the same instructors of the same ethnicity, that's more helpful. Separating the classes for men and women, you know, because sometimes men, you know, they think they don't want to participate in the class with the women and same with the women. So having gender-specific classes, don't change the content or anything of the class, but just having, you know, different sessions for men and women, that might help. And the other thing we did find was, so when this study was done, when they started doing it, they were doing follow-up calls, like every 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. So they will call the participants and ask, you know, is there any barrier? Like somebody would tell you then, you know, then you come to know, okay, you know, this site lacks transportation facilities. So, you know, you might want to change the site in that way. So we do give those kind of recommendations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll be able to take more questions.